Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh, yeah, that's the sound of the weekend. Happy Friday. It is 8:06. Time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. The Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy.
Crank it up. Bang, bang, bang.
Like the late, great John Bonham of Led Zeppelin. Now, that guy could bang on the drum. He had a heavy stick, as they would say, in the biz.
The biz of rock and roll.
Yeah, I had a set of drums.
Yeah.
Just like I have a set of golf clubs.
And you're equally
as
talented
with either one in my hand. It's like, yeah, dude. You better look out. You better look out. All right. Speaking of sports, and I am, because I choose to, I do whatever I want, hence the name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time of year when even very casual or even non-casual football fans will come together for playoff games and then, of course, the big game. So we're coming down to the wire. So what happens Sunday will determine who the two teams will be in the big game. So Sunday at 3:00, it is Washington. What do they call it? The Commanders?
That's just so
whatever.
Weird. No, it's wrong. That's wrong.
Would John Riggins, would he be okay? I don't know. Anyway, Washington versus Philly.
Oh.
Fly, Eagles, fly! One of my several bandwagon teams that I have joined.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it goes like this. Mom's from Philly.
Right.
So I love me some Phillies along with all my cousins.
Right.
And Dad's from Detroit, and
okay.
A big Lions fan, and first time in my lifetime. Actually, I had something to root for with the Lions, so there's that.
Yeah.
And then good old Tampa Bay, and I've been through them since almost the beginning, definitely through some struggling years and a few high points and a couple of Super Bowls. But yeah, so you call me Bandwagon Bob if you want, and that's fair. I think I was bad luck this year, so I didn't even post a picture of me with a Philly shirt on until after the game.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, no. I'm not going to jinx them. So here's who's going to win on Sunday.
Okay.
Philly's going to win against Washington.
Right.
And the Bills, the play after that, 6:30, the Bills are going to upset and beat the cheater Chiefs. Yeah, you heard me. Bunch of cheaters. Yeah, Chiefs are cheaters. Mm. Yeah. Oh, you don't believe me? You don't believe me that they're cheaters?
All right. All right, Shifty Shift. You have evidence.
In fact, I do. I have much more evidence than he presented against Trump, for sure, because he had zero.
Oh, there's that.
So there was actually, this has been some of the chatter. And even when I watched the game, the last game, over the Texans, the Chiefs, I really, and nobody prompted this, and I'm not, you know, one of those geeky guys that can talk about sports all day. And I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody. You know, you can make a soap opera out of anything if you choose to. I just don't have time for it, honestly. But So the chatter's been, and I didn't know about the chatter, shall we say, about the Chiefs being cheaters. And I watched that game. I go, wow, they are not applying the same penalties to each team, even though clearly both teams were breaking rules, you know, whether it's a holding thing, pass interference, whatever the calls were. I'm like, man, the Chiefs never get anything called against them. Well, this guy, Warren Sharp of Sharp Football Analysis, actually did some research. And you know what he did? Uh-oh. He went all the way back to all of the playoff games since 2021 because the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl the previous 2 years. This could be a three-peat. So he wanted to see, hey, what can we measure? It's hard to say, oh, look at that call. Look, that was a bad call. So he just did this. All 11 playoff games. Okay. How many times have the Chiefs had more penalties than their opponents? Out of 10 games.
Okay.
Or 11 games. What do you think? I mean, the average would be maybe somewhere in the middle. 0-0. The Chiefs were never penalized greater than their opponents in every single one of those 11 playoff games. Do you know what the odds of that are?
That's a huge coincidence.
Yeah, you call it a coincidence.
11 times over.
Now, I guess one time they were penalized the same as one team. But 10 out of 11, the Chiefs got off the hook and the other team was penalized more.
Fans are just going to say, well, they just don't screw up and make the same mistakes everybody else does. That's why they're who they are.
Yeah.
That's what you'd hear.
10 games in which opponents had more penalties, 0 games in which the Chiefs had more penalties. CBS Sports, Douglas Clawson said those numbers, they're incredible. Not only that, they're historic. And said, the only teams with longer streaks in playoff history were the Dolphins, 18. That was 70 through 82. And then the Broncos, 84 to 91. Now, as Sharp notes, the guy who began this analyzation, he says, to dispel the notion of playoff favoritism, one must look at how the Chiefs are penalized compared to their opponents in the regular season.
Okay.
Well, those numbers don't exactly help Kansas City their case.
Really?
The Chiefs have had more penalties than their opponents in 25 of 68 games. That's 37%. So during the regular season, they're penalized a little less than their opponents. Okay. 50% would say, you know, it's give and take.
But
37%.
Yeah.
But that even makes the playoff thing even stand out to a greater degree. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. This isn't even close to the regular season numbers.
Right.
Yeah. So
that is interesting to look at.
And they noted there's a striking disparity between regular and postseason play. To put it in perspective, the direct playoff penalty numbers in the win. Well, we could go all through that, but you get the idea that.
Yeah.
So, Chief fans, you know, what do they have to say about that? Mm. Because statistically, and look, there could be a statistical once-in-a-million-year type thing. Could be.
This is sounding like a smoking
gun. Or
it
could be. Yeah, they're really really like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
And you know, in the playoffs, you have the best of the best as far as the umpires and the line judges and the backfield judges and all that.
Right.
The best ones get to go into the playoffs. The best ones are supposed to be at the Super Bowl. So the best of them.
See, that makes it even more interesting compared to regular season. You get the really sharp guys here, and that percentage
should be probably even more.
The
even
other
now.
Way.
Now, remember, you could always say, well, clearly the Chiefs are a much more disciplined team, and maybe that's how they won two Super Bowls. Again, getting less penalties, yes, but zero?
Yeah.
Never getting more penalties than the playoff team that they're facing in 11 games.
I'd love to hear from somebody who looks at stats and odds and could say, okay, what are the odds of that compared to comparable teams, comparable time? It seems a little skewed.
And so, of course, in the last game when they're going against the Texans, I picked Kansas City to win.
Yeah.
But once they started that, the way the calls were, I saw lopsided, I started screaming. I go, jack that sucker up. I wanted them to take Mahomes down. Ooh. Jack him up.
Or the Mahomes fans just got the hair up on the back of their neck.
Oh, I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a great guy. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I can say that to the TV if I want to.
That's true.
Still America. That's America.
Your First Amendment right to yell at your TV.
So anyway, you heard it here first. Philly and the Bills will be in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are going to lose probably a tight win, but they're going to lose, in my opinion.
Okay, write that down. We'll see.
Coming up, what is going on with Attorney General Pam Bondi? What's the delay? What's the holdup? That and a whole lot more. Coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And so it's the weekend. Happy Friday, 8:19. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. When is our former Attorney General Pam Bondi, when is somebody, you know, counting the Senate votes, say yes to her appointment? Yeah. And Florida Politics, in a column there, they're speculating that she might not be confirmed before February. Now, remember, I told you that they pushed off the meeting by a week, right, which is within the Senate rules to do that. So they should be meeting Wednesday. All right, this coming Wednesday.
That'd be the 29th.
And do a floor vote.
Okay.
Now, Republicans, the Senate majority and Republicans outnumber Democrats on the committee 12 to 10. No Republican senators have publicly have any criticism of Bondi. Mm-hmm. That's different than what was directed at Matt Gaetz, for instance, and ultimately Gaetz withdrew from the consideration. Democrats have challenged Bondi, who Trump nominated in November in a confirmation hearing last week. Now, Democrats questioned the former Florida AG on potential conflicts of interest from her lobbying career, potential loyalty to Trump over the Constitution, and most pointedly, and this is what they'll probably try to make something out of, because I think she addressed the other issues very, very well. This is the one they're going to try to go after: her representation of Trump when he challenged the outcome of the 2020 election. The majority office for the committee notably issued a point-by-point counter of those critiques with quotes from Bondi in the hearing. All this points to a likely positive recommendation from the committee when it heads to the floor, but Democrats again can stall the process, apparently, allegedly. A day after a committee vote, Majority Leader John Thune can bring her confirmation to the floor, but must negotiate an agreement with Democrats on a time for debate. That means the floor vote could be delayed until February 4th or 5th. Wow.
I wonder if these Democrats were the same ones, just thinking, and we've talked about this many times over the years, I wonder if they didn't like that that Eric Holder literally was Obama's wingman. But we're talking about loyalty, too much loyalty to the president? Really?
Look, I've been around long enough to know this. Whenever they start to say, don't worry, the office of the attorney general, the head of the Department of Justice, is going to operate, you know, in a vacuum and not at the behest of the president, et cetera, et cetera. I've heard that since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I have heard it over and over again. Let's pull the, you know, the curtain back and just be honest. Of course, the president is going to pick an attorney general that they think are going to go to bat for them to help promote their agendas and have their back if they're under some sort of legal attack.
Yep.
And is that necessarily a terrible thing? I really don't think so. Now, if you have some obvious things like you're weaponizing the DOJ, the president says, hey, go after Tom, Dick, and Harry. I don't like those guys.
And Donald.
Yeah, whatever the case
like
may be.
We saw,
now,
yes.
That obviously that's a problem.
Yes.
But to try to pretend, like, you know what I mean? They operate with complete isolation.
No.
That is, oh my God.
Whenever they say that, I just always think of the whole wingman thing.
Well, I think of Garland, just what a weasel he is.
Absolutely.
Now, Bondi, in all likelihood, is going to definitely, she's going to be the next attorney general. I feel comfortable saying that. It's just a matter that the Democrats are going to play their game and try to stretch it out and do what they can to try to slow the process down, slow walk it, et cetera. Now, when she is confirmed, there's still a lot of stuff that the Biden crime family, things that could be sought after legally. And this is according to Representative James Comer. Remember him? He was the chairman. I mean, still the chairman of the House Government Oversight Committee. He was the one who was putting together all the evidence against the Biden crime family and been doing that for a long time, right? He's the one who helped to put together the case that they used for prosecuting Hunter Biden for tax evasions and other things. Well, he just published a best-selling book, All the President's Money, and apparently details all of what his committee learned from testimony, subpoenaed bank records, and the previous work of Peter Schweitzer and the Government Accountability Institute in the book Secret Empires and Profiles in Corruption. Does Comer think there is anything that can still be done? And he said, well, the ball is in or going to be in Pam Bondi's court, he says. Before posing the question, is the Trump administration committed to holding them accountable? The Department of Justice could nail the Bidens for violation of Foreign Agents Registration Act, FARA.
Right.
They could nail the Bidens for money laundering. They could nail the Bidens for tax evasion. IRS whistleblowers who testified to the committee said they didn't pay any taxes on tens of millions of dollars they found that they had taken from, accepted from these foreign countries. The bank said they were money laundering. Everybody that knows anything knows they were violating the FAIR Act, at least. Would the pardons dished out by Joe Biden protect them from any future criminal charges? And then he goes on to say, you know, the most corrupt thing about these pardons is that they're preemptive, broad, blunt, covering anything and everything. And they were doing all these things. They were violating the FAIR Act. And the list of laws that they have broken goes on and on and on. So, you know, I think that, you know, whole preemptive thing could be tested.
Interesting.
Well, I'm not saying that there's not a mountain of evidence.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that presenting that, putting that together, going after them, and then, at the same time, you're going to have to fight the viability of the pardon itself.
Right.
I don't know. Sounds like taking up a lot of energy and resources.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, and President Trump pointed this out to Sean Hannity, Biden didn't pardon himself.
No, he did not.
And that's where some things could happen theoretically. I just have a suspicion that even if they did get it all together and they did come up with, you know, really strong, I mean, irrefutable evidence, and they tried to move forward on it. Mm-hmm. I think it, you know, at the end of the day, if it comes that if it go push comes to shove, all of a sudden Joe Biden is definitely going to be that elderly man with a memory problem, mm-hmm. and then some. Yes. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So anyway, first, Pammy Joe has to get the Senate approval.
Right.
And then we will refer to her respectfully as Attorney General Pammy Joe.
Exactly.
Because she's a Gator girl.
Oh, yeah.
And we can do that and still be respectful, because we are. I very much appreciate what she's done so far, and I think she'll do a fantastic job. It is 8:28. Can you believe it already? Woo. Yeah, and the sun's making a rare appearance.
I don't feel it, but I can kind of see it.
You better hurry up. Soak it up before it's gone. Yeah. Vitamin D waiting for you. We've got plenty more to talk about coming up on the Bob Rowe Show, including American troops and Ukraine. Uh-oh, you're not going to like it. Coming up next on 97.3 The Sky. Happy Friday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast. Download that wherever you normally get your podcast, or the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Just click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. All right. The weekend is here. The sun is out. Life is good. Still plenty of challenges, I'm sure, for us as individuals, certainly as a nation. Many of us, myself included, very happy that we have a real president in the White House. And it's very timely. One of the things that's going on in the world is Ukraine and Russia at war. And this story from Breitbart, intensifying talk in European capitals about sending peacekeepers to Ukraine's front lines is welcome, but it won't work without American boots on the ground. Who said that? President Zelensky. He said that at the Davos World Economic Forum meeting. These are a bunch of ultra-wealthy people that want to they want to control the world. They have a vision of how they think things should be. They're very pro-greeny-weeny, for instance.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. So President Trump appeared there via Zoom. And I got to tell you, maybe if we find some sound, because he was Trump. Very measured, very direct. Didn't mince his words, like, we're putting America first, and talked about the automobile, talked about oil. And we have more than anybody else in the ground under us, and we're going to use it. It was great, in case you missed it. All right. So what is Zelensky doing? Somehow they think that this will ingratiate him with President Trump. He thinks he's somehow acting as a conduit for American first messaging to European leaders. I'm not sure he got the memo. Americans, do you want boots on the ground there? I don't. Our people serving? No. Why in the world would we ever do that? The only reason we're in the fix we're in is because both under Obama and Biden, they were perceived as so weak that Putin took advantage of it. First with Crimea and Obama, and then now with Ukraine. Bloomberg, by the way, reports the Ukrainian bristled at the suggestion that the U.S. wouldn't put boots on the ground in Ukraine to deter further Russian aggression. I just think that would be a huge mistake. I think what the president has done so far has been the smartest thing, to say, you know, Putin, this is costing a lot of money, a lot of lives, and you're not really getting anywhere. You know, figure out what you want, because if it continues, you're going to have incredible penalties via taxes and tariffs and other things that we're going to do to try to, block trade, hinder your, make your financial position, which I don't think is great anyway, make it much worse. That probably would be much more effective than sending all of our weaponry and money to Ukraine. But you know what's in it for the wealthy people that are pro, Ukraine. Not just pro-Ukraine. I shouldn't say it that way. Let me put it to you this way. There's people in high positions that are making money off of this thing, directly and indirectly. Ukraine has always been known as a money laundering center.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's taking place. Poll Americans and see how they feel about it. Yes, they don't want to see Ukraine crushed, but we see Ukraine as, a nation that, their sovereignty should be respected. But it's not our fight. And we don't want to make it our fight. Because at some point, Russia may grow very tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then things can happen very detrimental, and they can happen very rapidly. And most of the planet, it wouldn't be a good place.
One of the biggest standing ovations that the president got during his inaugural speech, if you remember, was when he was talking about war and the wars that we keep ourselves from getting into. That got one of the biggest responses.
It also came out, apparently, Zelensky expressed optimism that China might be persuaded to force Russia to peace because so much of Russia's economy and military supplies rely on Beijing. While President Trump is the strongest, Xi Jinping can push Putin peace, I'm sure.
Hmm.
Well, that whole dynamic is shaping up in a very interesting way. And because of the way that we've made the boogeyman out of Putin, it has only put China in a greater power position.
Thanks,
and,
Brandon.
Yeah. And it's alienated Putin to the point of where push comes to shove, he's leaning much more. Well, he already is. Much more to being with the Chinese. That's not good. Anyway, you even breathe a word about American boots on the ground in Ukraine. Mm. I'm telling you, there'll be a backlash. It's still coming. I don't think you've heard anything yet. Davis Gainesville, Chevrolet Skylines, and Tom, good morning.
So I've got a 14, 18, and 20-year-old, and a lot of my 20-year-old's friends are in the military. I could give I won't even put any expletives about Ukraine. The money that's been flushed down the toilet. What was this? You listen to Back in the USSR by the Beatles. Ukraine was part of Russia, 40 years ago? And they got out of it when Reagan came in. This is just a non-issue to me. I don't want to spend any more money in this place. And for God's sake, Trump was elected so we wouldn't have our kids dying in useless wars. So I think there's going to be a huge backlash. This Zelensky is out of his mind. I don't know what Biden told him about the U.S.'s relationship with Ukraine. I think people should really start speaking up about this whole thing. It's been a disaster. We've flushed all this money down the toilet. He's not going to go into Poland or the rest of Europe. This is part of what used to be the Soviet Union. I'm no Russia fan, but I certainly don't want to spend any more money and not one drop of American blood in that rat hole. Anyway, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's not our fight. Can we be used to help bring about peace in that region? Yes. Would that be a good thing? Yes. But I don't think that would involve further arming or spending money, like you said, in Ukraine. When will Zelensky go, we're good, we have enough? Never. When will Russia just go, you're right? I mean, we just keep poking them and poking them and poking them.
Right.
Eventually, there is going to be a level of escalation that is going to be non-beneficial.
Because Putin's only got a couple of options, and the one he's using now isn't working.
Yeah.
He's also got the other one.
Yeah.
So there's that.
So,
Yeah.
It just goes back to it's not our fight. It's interesting that we had a president for 4 years that said, we need to help Ukraine with everything we've got. You know why? Because their sovereign border was invaded.
Wow.
Isn't that?
There's our reason for you.
Yeah.
Talk about your oxymoron, you moron.
Yeah, their sovereign border.
Right. What about ours?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. And then at one point he did, I think he qualified it something like, yeah, somebody said, what do you consider, you know, like a war or whatever? Like he said something like involving tanks.
Right. And an invasion without tanks doesn't count.
So as long as MS-13 doesn't get their hands on a tank.
We're good.
Yeah. Right. Well, he thinks we're good.
But yeah.
Good morning, Jeff. You're on the air.
Yeah, I have a silly proposition, and I'm not entirely serious, but what about making the Ukraine another state, just like the proposition of Greenland, and let's just say they get things back under control, and then double secret, you know, we set up, and all of a sudden, hey, Ukraine is our 51st state. I was just entertaining the idea and wonder what you thought about that. God bless America.
Well, it doesn't matter what I think about it. Sure, that'd be great. What would Putin think about it?
Oh,
you see, part of this whole issue involves us pushing and edging NATO on their border, pushing and edging missiles pointed at Moscow closer and closer to the border. We're like right up his backside.
Yep.
And this is one of the issues and one of the reasons why he's trying to create, in his mind, you know, some breathing room, if you will.
And he said so.
Yeah,
so.
And of course, Ukraine is rich in, you know, farmland and other resources. So, yeah, that's definitely part of it, too. It is complex. But, yeah, I don't know about the 51st state thing. Putin would not react well.
No.
I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised he's actually been as level-headed, I guess you'd call it, as he has been.
It makes you wonder.
Because this would all be over if we weren't helping Ukraine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would think. Okay. And it's so weird because it's really like, it's like their cousins are shooting missiles at them. Do you know what I mean? That's because of the close relationship of the countries. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Here comes the weekend. Did I mention Trump's a great guy?
Yeah, might have, but you can always say it again.
I'll present more evidence on that coming up next on 97.3 The Sky. Who shot JFK? Who shot RFK? Who shot MLK? And what was behind all of it?
Inquiring minds
want to know. Is there more to the story? Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. A chilly start to your morning. That's all right. Layer up. Tough it out because it is Friday and the weekend is upon us. But Trump said, yeah, we're going to do it. Executive order. Release and disclose and open all of the files relating to those three assassinations. I think it's a good idea. But you have to wonder, what will it lead to? What will we learn? Will we learn anything that can be used now or in the future? You know, to the benefit of, say, you know, the American people or to our leaders.
Right.
I don't know. But that's one of the reasons why you might want to look at it. I have a sneaking suspicion that the CIA, for instance, I use it as a broad term because I don't know the initials of all 17 of our spook agencies. And not to take away from some very important work they've done and they've saved a lot of lives. But with this kind of, you know, power and responsibility comes, responsibility. And anyway, the point is, I have a sneaking suspicion there could have been some involvement in that way. Specifically with the JFK thing, and I'm not the only one. I mean, you know, even his own nephew, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has said it several times that he feels like the CIA had at least a role in that. And then what does that tell us? Because I wouldn't say the CIA has shrunk since then. Oh, in fact, these agencies have grown. How much they've grown? Well, I'm not really sure. You know why? Because it's classified. Yeah, I mean, really. Yes, there are a few folks in Congress and Senate that there's some oversight and some supposed accountability, but not really to the degree or level you would think. And, of course, they'll say, well, you know, the secrecy is the key to our success, which there's something about that, but that also leads to people, well, we'll just say misbehaving, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 877-975-9825 for the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And joining us now, good morning, Tim. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning? Hey, I wanted to make a quick comment because, Tucker Carlson said something a couple years ago about this. He says the only reason why people wouldn't want to release the information is because it could damage an institution. Because everybody that was related to it or may have been involved with it is dead. So in other words, it's not going to damage one person. It's going to damage an institution. And, you know, Candace Owens had a CIA agent on recently who had been tried. They tried to kill him a couple times. But he basically said behind every big thing, the CIA has instigated almost everything. So in other words,
wow.
I have a feeling that the whole reason why it hasn't been released is because the CIA was behind this to begin with, mostly because of the Bay of Pigs issues. And if anybody reads history on JFK, he wanted to get rid of the CIA, and the CIA thought they were bigger than the president. So anyway, Have a great day.
Well, one of the reasons why oversight is so difficult, one of the reasons, is everybody's afraid of them.
Right.
And I'm just making an honest statement.
Sure.
The people in Washington that are supposed to, that do have oversight, are deathly afraid of them because they know what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow morning, you could wake up and you're a child molester. Of course, you're not.
But I saw it online. It was right there.
Saw it online.
I saw it.
Went to your apartment. The evidence was huge. This guy's got files a mile deep, man. What a sick son of a gun.
Mm.
Yeah. And you don't think that happens? Hopefully you know better, right? It is. There is a frightening aspect to it. They're very powerful people that are left nearly unaccountable.
Yeah.
In most cases, or completely unaccountable, really.
Well, which is worse for an institution, the things we think about them or when something's confirmed?
Well, here's where the problem is. You have this power, and you could misuse it and abuse it, and that would be wrong, and it needs to be reined in. But if you're misusing it and abusing it in a way that is totally damaging to the American people or to the offices we hold in high regard, like the presidency, that's where you have to get off that crazy train. But how? How do you stop it? If Trump says, look, what we discovered through the JFK files is, the CIA did have an active role, and we have the documentation, and we have this, and we have testimony, and we have this. And that leads me to conclude that we are going to have to significantly shorten the leash and maybe also, let some people go and shrink things to the level to which we can exert some greater control. And they're not going to like that.
Do we apply that to J6 as well?
J6 meaning the committee?
To the day in that sense.
The
people that were involved are those government people. And they were acting in a way that is not good for America.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we need to bring back the T word with a vengeance. The T word is treason.
Yeah.
And it's not applied nearly enough. Yeah, if you've acted in corroboration with a government entity, or you are part of a government entity, and you use your jobs, your skill set, your whatever, to know that you're going to impact, or with a design to impact, the outcome of a free, fair, and open election, that to me is treasonous.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But of course, First time you go after somebody and charge them with the tea thing, they'll go, dictator, dictator. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up right around the corner. The Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Just click subscribe. 97.3 The Sky.